It's E-Commerce Minute, your weekly dose of e-commerce, tech, and retail news with your hosts, John Suter, Bart Meraz, and Brittany Blackman. The E-Commerce Minute is a production of Sumo Heavy, a digital commerce consulting firm in Brooklyn, New York, and Philadelphia. Find us on the web at sumoheavy.com.
It's the E-Commerce Minute, episode 780.
These are our top stories in e-commerce, tech, and retail for the week of January 18th, 2021. Mark Lori retires. Walmart U.S. e-commerce business leader Mark Lori is leaving the big box retailer nearly 5 years after he helped the company accelerate their online business. Lori will continue on in a consulting role as a strategic advisor to Walmart through September. Lori joined the company back in 2016 when Walmart acquired the startup that he co-founded, Jet.com, for $3.3 billion with a B. The delivery service shipped groceries and other household items to mostly younger city-dwelling customers. With the pricey acquisition, Walmart and its CEO, Doug McMillon, made a big bet to jumpstart its digital business and play catch-up to Amazon. The deal was seen by investors and analysts as a way for Walmart to gain the digital savvy of Lori and his team. Lori had insights into Walmart's rival Amazon after selling his former company, Quidsy, the parent of Diapers.com, to Amazon for about $550 million. He worked for Amazon for several years before starting Jet.com. Lori said the Jet.com acquisition changed the narrative about Walmart. He said more people started to see it as a formidable force in e-commerce and technology, which allowed the company to recruit and hire top talent. With that team, he said the retail behemoth learned to move more nimbly to keep up in a digital world, a mindset that's helped it adjust and open pop-up fulfillment centers as the pandemic led to a spike in online demand. Walmart's U.S. e-commerce business has grown dramatically, even before COVID. The company reported online sales growth of 37% in the U.S. in 2019, topping its own internal growth target of 35%. That has jumped as even more customers limit trips to the store and use curbside pickup during the global health crisis. So what's next for Mark Lori? Lori told the Wall Street Journal, quote, "I'm writing a book. I'm creating a reality TV show. I'm probably going to buy a sports team." And if you think he's joking, you haven't heard of his other post-Walmart goal. Lori is embarking on a multi-decade project to build a futuristic city with an innovative economic framework. He says it's actually the project he's most passionate about. As Lori leaves the company, Walmart has established itself as a much stronger omnichannel retailer before he joined. In stores, as pickup and return delivery hubs have proven one of its major competitive advantages in the war over digital retailer. So I was chuckling a little bit there because that sounds like the typical, I'm going to take all my money and build a city and build a rocket and I'm going to go to the moon. It's like,
how many times have you heard that?
He's done it twice. So that is.
Well, yeah. So you'd think he's got a little chip on his shoulder or something. That's fine. That's rich guy muscles there. Good for him. You know,
I mean,
no hate on the guy. It's just kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean, he sold diaperdust.com to Amazon. He had money anyway. So then he started Jet on the same premise and then sold it to Walmart, you know. And besides all the stuff you see, all the numbers and stuff like that, it was just a missed sort of internal, you know, sort of what their, you know, Jet.com and Walmart, it could not be different companies more than anything. Like, it was just oil and water, basically.
Right? Yeah, and just dip a little deeper into that. You're looking at all the other things that they bought and acquired or started after that, the JetBlack service, which was like a premium service, which was for New York City housewives. We did a story on that way back. We thought, wow, Walmart is really turning a corner. They had the incubator. They made all these acquisitions. And now, it's now 2021, they've pulled back from almost everything that they've done. But they've taken all those as lessons and applied that to their digital strategy. So I can't say that they were bad things, but there was definitely a learning curve there, and it involved a lot of money and acquisitions and businesses coming and going. So,
yeah, I mean, one of the biggest stories, remember, there was a year or two ago where, like, you know, Walmart was like, well, you're losing $1 billion and we make $1 billion a month. Something's got to change because this is not going to happen.
Right.
You're not going to keep on losing. Like, we understand that the startup world is like that, where you lose money and try to make it, have something out of it. We're Walmart. We make money. This is not going to happen.
We make money, and we are a conservative company, not conservative in the traditional sense, but conservative as in, like, we don't waste money on things like this. We make money, as Bart said.
So the smart move was, yes, they might have lost money for a few years on these deals, but I think the smart is like wrapping them into what they do. I think there's also issues with some tech internally where, you know, Jet.com got put up really quickly. Walmart has Walmart Labs, you know, their e-commerce side is really good and mm-hmm. they've been around forever. So I think they've wrapped a lot of those things in there and tried to make something better. And then, you know, pandemic hit and they're like, okay, we can figure this out even better. And it makes sense for them. As for him leaving, I mean, we knew that like 2-3 years ago, it's going to happen yeah. because that was yeah. it. Like he took his money and then I'm out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he went as far as he could go with a company like Walmart. And to add to what you had said, and I think the pandemic adds to this in that Walmart now realizes what their strength is over Amazon is that their bricks and mortar footprint and how they can use that in their digital strategy, which Walmart, I mean, they have almost 5,000 stores now. So that's a bigger footprint. But, you know, Amazon's going to play catch up in that game because just in my area, I've said this before, I'm looking, there's 5 new warehouses in my area that have gone up in the last year. Bart, I told you the place, we're talking local real estate here. There was an old store they tore down. That's going to be an Amazon grocery store, and that is moving at a rapid pace. So I think the new battleground is going to be how each of these players utilize their bricks and mortar in their digital strategy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm also wondering about this city that he's building. So imagine here's a quote from Mark Lloyd. Imagine a city with the vibrancy, diversity, and culture of New York City, combined with the efficiency, safety, and innovation of Tokyo and the sustainability, governance, and social services of Sweden, reads the vision statement for the project. This will be our new city. So I'd want to move into this new city, I've heard this before.
Yeah, well, there's one already built inside of New York. I mean, Hudson Yards, it's supposed to be that self-sustaining, pretty much self-city, if you look at it. Obviously, with pandemic, it kind of changed a little bit, but for the most part, it's supposed to be self-sustaining. They have their own garbage, their own electricity, like all those things are built. So it's already there. What is he going to do? I mean, hey, listen, if it brings some utopia at some point, great, spend your money on that. I'm all for that.
I'm like, all for it, even half succeeding. Yeah. And
if you're going to employ a lot more people and you're going to employ and give some people some good stuff, great.
Yeah. And everybody knocks the rich guy stuff, but you know, we need the visionaries and the dreamers out there to actually make some of the stuff, you know, a reality instead of just pushing money around.
I would rather have him do the city than him write a book
or start a reality show or buy a sports team. Or
maybe buying a sports team. Like, that's great. You want to own a sports team. That's good because you're rich. But like the city thing, you know, that's kind of, I'm actually all for that one.
I'm definitely going to keep my eye on that one. All right, we're going to continue on the Walmart trip here. The next story. Walmart pilots temperature-controlled smart boxes. This spring, Walmart will start a pilot program letting customers receive grocery deliveries to temperature-controlled smart coolers that they can install on their porches or anywhere outside their house near a power outlet. The boxes, provided by Virginia company Home Valet, have chilled compartments for frozen and refrigerated food, as well as a section for pantry-style groceries that can be stored at room temperature. They're also internet-enabled and designed to unlock when the courier approaches so that food can be stowed. The Home Valet cooler should be able to let Walmart customers receive deliveries even when they're not available to answer the door. Since the pandemic, grocery delivery has skyrocketed because many consumers are, by all means, avoiding the heavy traffic of physical stores. The technology is designed to free customers from the worry of being able to accept grocery deliveries in time and to avoid having their purchases melt or spill. For Walmart, it opens up the hours that it can make deliveries. So it's another smart box. Bart, you and I have done many stories about these. I think this comes at a very opportune time for Walmart. And I saw a rendering of the box. The rendering of the box matched the consumer's paint job in front of the house. It looks like a nice box. Pretty
cool. So I like these boxes. We've seen another one that was really cool. They can like screw into there's one that we've seen that was really cool. I saw somebody built one that was amazing. It actually worked really well. Like you couldn't really get anything out of it. But my problem with some of this stuff is like, it's so tied to the retailer, right? In the cities, you have the Amazon boxes, but you can't send anything else to them.
Yeah.
You know, so some of that stuff is really, really tied just to that particular tear, and that's kind of, I don't know, that's kind of silly.
Yeah, that is an issue. You have this beautiful giant box out front of your house, but you can't accept deliveries from anyone else because Walmart controls the tech inside the box. Unless you reverse engineer the box, then the whole security thing goes out the window. Right.
So you have a Walmart box for your Walmart stuff, but you know, every other delivery just piles on top of it.
Right. They just throw it on top of the box. Yeah, it's a good idea. I mean, we've seen these Amazon boxes we reported on over the years. But again, there's a lot of logistical problems here. People in apartment buildings ain't going to have these. People with small front steps aren't going to have these. I mean, this is for a certain consumer. But, you know, hey, it's a great idea. We're not knocking the idea, but we like to poke holes in things like this.
If I had that in South Philly, the unit would be stolen in 25 seconds.
There would be graffiti on it and people would be sitting in it.
Eating like chicken wings or something like that. That's a legit thing that has happened to me here. One time we came home, there were people just eating chicken wings on our steps, which is fine. But if this little Walmart box.
That's the price you pay for living in a big city, Brittany.
That's true.
That's true. But yeah, I mean, I think this will be a success. Again, this will be something you'll see in a suburban house, somebody who's got a bigger footprint and somebody who's got an outlet out front of their house, which not everybody has. So I think it's a great idea. Keep an eye on this one. All right, we'll go to the next story. Car builders to use Alexa to build assistants. Amazon wants to make it easier for automakers to bring voice assistants to their vehicles. The company announced a new service called Alexa Custom Assistant that enables automakers and device manufacturers to develop their own digital assistant built on Amazon's Alexa voice-enabled technology. This means an automaker could choose to use the custom assistant to interact with drivers on specific products and services tied to the vehicle, as well as integrate the Alexa voice assistant for other needs. For instance, if a driver asks Alexa to roll down a car window, the request will be routed to the brand's assistant. If a customer asks the brand's assistant to play an audiobook, the request will be routed to Alexa. Yes, that means your next car could have two Alexas. Even though it relies on Amazon technology, automakers can tailor their digital assistant to their liking by setting up unique wake words, voice, skills, and capabilities, such as search, traffic updates, and navigation. Amazon said the cost to develop an intelligent assistant using the service will vary depending on the device or vehicle, customer use cases, and language requirements. The solution is meant to remove some of the challenges that come with a company building its own digital assistant technology from scratch, which can be costly and time-consuming. Automakers that use the service can also tap into the tens of thousands of Alexa skills and integrations like smart home, entertainment, and shopping. Fiat Chrysler Automobiles will be the first Alexa Custom Assistant customer. An FCA-branded intelligent assistant is being offered. I wasn't speaking with you. An FCA-branded intelligent assistant, she was listening to me. An FCA-branded intelligent assistant is being built for integration in select vehicle models. The offering is the latest example of Amazon's effort to extend Alexa's reach beyond voice-activated smart speakers. The company has baked the digital assistant into a range of devices around the home, including microwaves, clocks, and smart plugs. Amazon faces competition from Silicon Valley, from companies like Apple and Google that are also looking to persuade car makers to integrate their technologies into in-car infotainment systems. So far, Amazon has formed partnerships with a growing list of automakers, including General Motors, Ford, BMW, Audi, Toyota, Hyundai, and Nissan. Bart, I know you have opinions on this.
Are you done reading?
I'm done. Go ahead, Bart.
I want it. I'm just kidding. So I'm going to scroll backwards, actually, from that story. I think the reason they're making deals is because Alexa doesn't have a phone device. Every single phone device from iPhone and Android, you can plug into most cars now, and they all have CarPlay in it or right. Android Play in it. You just plug it in, and it's already in there. My car, I do not own. If you take my phone out, I don't have a navigation system at all. Like, it has Siri stuff, but I use my phone for everything. So that's like one of the things. Amazon has a device for a car already, which is kind of interesting, but I guess they're going to try to integrate it fully into a car, which would be great. I think that's a good
idea. Yeah. So my car does not have CarPlay, but my car has onboard navigation. But I always prefer, like when I get rental cars, I prefer to use the phone and have the phone overtake the display so that I can use mm-hmm. CarPlay and all yeah. the functions on my phone. So that's more, I guess, more practical. Moving a step forward, I think what Amazon is doing, they're just doing what Sirius did 10 years ago, where it's like, we're going to cut a deal. We're going to put Sirius in every car. Mm-hmm. Customer wants to use it. Great. If they don't, they don't. But what, you know, Bart, what Amazon gets out of it, they get all the data. And hopefully the people will use it for shopping and all the other things. We've yeah. seen some of the high-end GM cars that had the shopping assistants in there. We did a bunch of stories on these years ago where it was like, How practical that stuff is, I don't know. I mean, I think I can imagine it. Hey, lady in the tube, tell me where the nearest gas station is. That's practical, but not let me pull over and buy a sweater. I don't think that's...
I mean, so Amazon has a specific device for the car already. Just buy it. It's like an...
Yeah, it's that little...
It's a little one for the car.
But it's a little device that you've got to mount somewhere. That's what I don't like.
Right, but there's more but to it. My mom, who has a brand new GM car, or Chevy car, I'm sorry, just GM, whatever. That car has wireless charging and wireless CarPlay, but it also has Alexa built in, kind of. So if you, you can do the whole application thing. So if you press the Alexa button on her screen, it connects to your phone and uses Alexa from your phone as it would be connected fully. So they're already doing that. So it's an app that's already there. Like it was built in. Like that's the first thing I've looked at. And I was like, well, that's interesting. So they're already having those kind of conversations and building them in. It's just how useful it's going to be, right? Because Amazon doesn't have maps, right? Google does. Apple does. I guess it could be a third party that it can use.
Yeah, maps is a good point there. I hadn't even thought of that one.
Right. Like for me, I'm a big Waze guy because Waze is great. Like it's, but Waze is also now built into Google Maps, right? The problem I have with things on the phone when you have to use something else than Siri, like you have to go to Waze or you have to go to, like, you want to use Alexa on your phone because you can do that. There's like a multi-step process for obvious reasons. So when you like press the button on your phone on the car and say, hey, I want directions to here, it's going to be Apple Maps that comes up. It's not going to be Waze. It's not going to be, you can, you know, multiple, and then you forget what to say. It's just easier to go, what's the directions?
Right.
So I think that the more they integrate some stuff, the better it will get, which is great. And John, I'm with you. I love having CarPlay on my phone because my wife can drive it. She can have her stuff. I drive. I have my stuff. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter where we go. It's the same phone over and over and over, or it's the same display.
Right.
You know, when I was traveling a lot, getting in a car, having the same display, you That's don't even think love, about man. It, right? You're like, you press it, you know exactly where the button is. You don't even have to think about it. That's always been my favorite. Now, you know, the one step is having wireless. That's just my thing, right?
Wireless now. Charging in the car. That's
and amazing. Wireless CarPlay. So you have
wireless CarPlay.
So you have no connection whatsoever.
Well, I don't have wireless, but as I said, I just bought a Nissan Rogue and it does not have CarPlay. I was a little disappointed by that, but it does have a big display and it has an onboard navigation. So even if I don't have my phone, I can look up maps. I can do stuff. But it also has if you long press the phone button, if your phone is connected, it will connect with Siri. And just as you expect Siri to work, you'll ask it something and it'll say, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're saying.
I'm waiting for Alexa, roll my windows down.
Yeah, how about that?
That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah, I mean, I have that, like, you can go backwards. Like, I can start my car with Alexa from home, which is great. Like, hey, turn on the heat and all that stuff. That works. I think out of all of the sort of those kind of assistants between Google and Siri and Alexa has been my favorite from response and how she understands it.
Yeah, I agree.
We have Google at the office, which I kind of use just for music, and that's like the voice is better and it understands a little more. Siri is just a piece of crap. I'm sorry.
Yeah, agree. It totally is
terrible. And you know what? The only place that actually is good, this is the weird part, is actually in the car. If you have it hooked up like I do, like a pure like integration type of thing, it actually is the most amazing thing ever. And the best part of it is texting. So when you're driving and texting with somebody on the screen, I think that's the best feature they have. And it works flawlessly.
I need to try that. Like I said, I just got this car and Siri is hooked up and I'm so used to it not working. I really need to like go in there and put it through its paces and see how good it actually is.
Yeah, if you have the CarPlay display stuff, John, at some point when you rent a car or whatever, talking to Siri while driving and texting somebody is just, to me, it works.
That's
it works
killer.
Really well.
That's and killer, especially like, if it transcribes it close to what you're trying to say.
Well, it says it and it repeats to you, but the beauty of it, what I find fascinating is if you're having a long conversation with somebody when you're texting with somebody, it doesn't just like talk, I am here. It's like it has this like voice changes and how it like repeats it. If it's something happy, it's kind of happier.
The cadence to it
is kind of interesting. It's definitely, that's the only feature that I like and it actually works in the car unlike anywhere else.
Hmm, very cool. I did not know that. I'm going to try that in my car. Yeah, we, like I said, we do all these stories. So we've always had a Alexa device in the house. Now we have, where I guess we're up to three or four. I got a couple of those Google Pucks just to, you know, just to try them out. And the Google, I mean, the Google's pretty responsive. Those little Pucks, the music, the sound quality is actually surprisingly good for a tiny little thing. But I have
it's like, if you're using one, you kind of just use one because then everything is integrated into.
Yeah. That's the problem. So I got the Google one that sits in the living room and I use it like once a month to ask it the weather on the way out the door. And that's it. All right. Let's wrap this one up. That's all for this episode. We'll be back next Friday to break down the week's e-commerce, tech, and retail news. And don't forget our long form podcast In the Ring, available on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Until then, we'll see you on the internets next Friday. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Doggy's got to go. Doggy's right on schedule.